Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, at that time, everything that they did was things that had never, basically never been done before, you know, and so it was really quite an experience to watch.
How did you take off from there? Were you a fan of like what Lennon or Harrison's guitar or anything like that? Or
it was the way that they used the guitar. You know, that only probably went on for a couple of years, and then as I learned more about the guitar, then I kind of got into more of the blues thing, you know, like Eric Clapton and all of the great blues players of that time. And, you know, that was kind of the bridge from the Beatles to the whole blues thing, and then eventually into jazz.
Teenager when jazz sort of hit you?
Yeah, I grew up in a high school that had this incredible jazz big band.
This is in New York City now?
This is in Mamaroneck, New York. It's just a couple miles outside of New York City.
Okay.
I had a good guitar teacher, and it just, at that time, I just happened to hook up with this big band at our high school, and that just totally blew me away. You know, the whole power of the big band and the participation in that was just amazing. So at that time, you know, I was kind of bridging between the rock and roll blues thing into the jazz thing. It eventually got down to making a decision which direction to go. You know, the big band really kind of tipped me in the jazz direction.
Really? Wow. Because it was much hipper to be on the blues side, I would think, at that time. I mean, Clapton and all those guys with Cream and... I mean, that was the hip thing to do, wasn't it? Or what?
It was
so what,
very
what,
much.
What was it about the big band? What was it about the jazz that...
The big band itself, it was like this group participation that where you get this just enormous result, you know, because you have all these horns and there's just a certain feeling, like a really powerful feeling that went with that.
Well, not long after that, it sounded like you were accepted and went to the Berklee College of Music.
I did, yes, yes.
So you must have had some serious game, or doing some serious practicing, or both at the time, then to get into Berklee.
I was practicing a lot, you know, and I was super excited just to get in there, you know, but I was just right out of high school, so a lot of people at that time, you know, didn't really have much of a direction. Everybody talking about what school they're going to go to, and I was just totally blown away that I got in there. And it was quite a surprise when I got there, too.
You were coming of age at a really interesting time of popular music in this country, and I've talked with the blues man, Joe Louis Walker, about this a couple of times. He was out in San Francisco in the late 60s, early 70s, when all this music, all this blues and jazz and rock and gospel and folk and all, it was all kind of blending together. People were trying to kind of put it all together at that same time, it seemed like, and it was some really interesting sounds were coming out.
I was trying to make that transition from the blues and rock into jazz, and it was kind of scary because you develop these chops on your instrument, and then you don't want to lose that. But then I would hear the jazz, and I would say, that's what I want to do, but I wouldn't be very good at that yet. So you had to make this transition, but you did have all those things happening at the same time. So there was no such thing as fusion. So it was kind of like straight ahead jazz and rock and blues.
Yeah, he talked about being at the Fillmore. Was it the Fillmore West or just the Fillmore? There's, I get him confused. But anyway, he talked about, you know, the gigs out in San Francisco would be, you know, Muddy Waters would be on the bill, as would Mingus and maybe Cream or something, all on the same bill.
Right.
And like, whoa, that's really cool. I guess you can do that today with these big music festivals, but, you know, that didn't last all that long, it seemed, when all those different kinds of bands were in the same venue together at the same time.
In fact, you know, I write a little bit about in my bio about how I was affected by John McLaughlin and his trio with organist Larry Young and Tony Williams on drums. You know, this is during that transitional stage. I went to what was a classic, like a Fillmore East type of thing. And I forgot who we went to see, but it was three bands, and they were all different, like, they were mixed up, like what you just said. And here was John McLaughlin and Tony Williams' Lifetime, and they were playing this stuff that was just like, I had never heard anything like this before. It was like the seed of fusion, and it was just mind-boggling that people could play like this.
Our guest is Frank Cole. He joins us via Skype from his home in Seattle. What do you consider your strength? What do you do well, either as a guitarist, a musician? What do you feel your strength is?
Well, I like to express my innermost feelings in my improvisation and the way I phrase the melody. And with the people that I perform with, I like it to be spontaneous and just go to this really special place where you can express what's inside of you.
The album is called Invisible Man. Could you talk about what that means to you, Invisible Man?
Well, I haven't done a CD in a couple of years, and I was just struck by the difficulty it is to get gigs, to get people to listen to you. I mean, honestly, it made me feel invisible. And so I tried to use that to get strength from that feeling.
Got another song on here called Born Again. To me, that sounds religious. What does it mean to you?
I'm really glad you asked me that question, because right before I did this CD, one of my favorite guitar players in the world has always been Pat Martino. And I hadn't seen him perform in maybe like 15 years or so. So he came here to Seattle. My wife and I, we went and saw him. And I was so impressed by, you know, this whole age thing. Like what a person can do when they reach a certain age. I was so impressed by him that I titled that song after him, because with that whole brain aneurysm thing that he had and everything, it's like he was the greatest guitar player ever, and he had that happen to him, and he came back and basically was born again.
Ah, okay.
So it's not religious.
Okay, yeah. Because he had to relearn how to play guitar.
Yeah, and he sure, I mean, you can go see him today, boy, and he'll blow you right out of your seat. Huh.
Well, Frank Cole, it's nice to talk to you. Congratulations on this fantastic new album. Not only are you a great guitar player, but you're a fantastic songwriter, and a lot of people don't understand how difficult it is to write really good songs, and you can do it. Congratulations on the album.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me. It's great to be able to talk about jazz.
Thank you.